to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Monday morning. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. We'll get to your text over the next few segments, so please keep them coming. Still to come on the program, my friend Paul DeMarco at about an hour. And then at the near the conclusion of the broadcast, we'll hear from Dale Jackson from WVNN and Yellowhammer News. So please stay tuned for that. Joining us now on the line, it's been a few weeks, but we're always glad to be joined by State Representative Shane Stringer. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Doing great, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Thanks for making time. We do appreciate it. Well, it's how's the off season going for you? It's summer months, and it's a lot of election politics, but much going on legislative wise.
No, it's not too bad. Just answering a few phone calls here and there and just trying to help constituents out with their issues. But other than that, it's not too busy.
Well, it's, it's one of those lulls in the action that's probably appreciated by a lot of us. So we'll be gearing up for the new session. I guess one of the things, and I guess this is the obligatory question, sort of your reaction to what the Governor Ivey Tollbridge proposal. I mean, it's not your district necessarily, but I'm sure it's going to impact a lot of people from your House district.
Yeah, I think so. It's one of those projects that's absolutely needed and we've got to do something. But on the other hand, you've also got a lot of opposition to the any toll, so not sure how that's going to play out far as the constituents, but I know we've got to do something somehow, some way, to get this project going to alleviate some of that stress.
Yeah, it's just the timing of it, and I get it, there's federal money that's going to lapse if we don't act soon, but I don't think this is something that people are fully aware of. I know that they're going to give a bunch of workarounds for locals and people they think we're going to get passes and commuter, unlimited things of that sort. But man, $7.70 is going to, there's going to be some sticker shock there from that commuter traffic passing through Alabama.
Oh, absolutely. And I don't know how that's going to play out. Luckily, I don't have to use it as much. So it's not going to affect, myself, but for the ones it is going to affect, that's going to be pretty stiff. And on top of everything else with, all the inflation and stuff that we've seen over the last 15, 20 years, it's going to be tough on people.
Yeah, well, I guess that's to be continued. But I'd be surprised if it's if it proceeds as is. There's got to be some things to try to nibble around the edges, at least get it down a little bit. But what that may be, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm sure myself and everybody will fight tooth and nail to try to get either the lowest toll we can or no toll to try to, help out our constituents and help people out the best we can. But I don't know in the long run, what it's going to take to make this project happen. So I've not had a lot of opportunities to do a deep dive into the latest proposal and what we're looking at. So I'll need to do that a little bit before I, see what we do need and don't need at this point.
Well, like a couple of things and just kind of bounce these off of, because we don't have all the details, but the two things I'm kind of interested in, what if they want to increase the toll? What's the mechanism there? How will that work? Does it just go to this rubber stamp toll authority or what? And then the other aspect would be, when does the toll end? Like is there a plan in place that when this is paid, are the notes paid on it or whatever, the bonding, that the toll goes away? And then it's sort of like, any other toll road, around the South, they have one in Atlanta for a while and then they paid off the road. And Kentucky, the system there, the turnpikes and, places around where we've done this. And then ultimately it becomes a free route.
Yeah, and we've seen it locally with that. The Bankhead Tunnel, I think, was tolled at one point when it was built and it was removed at some point. Foley Beach Express or the bypass going into Orange Beach was told, and that was done away at some point. So, you know, those are good questions. That's the kind of stuff that we want to see and hear, that there's not going to be some kind of extended or lifelong toll on the bridge, that once it's the toll and the bridge and projects paid for, that it's removed. And that's what the questions that's going to be asked.
The design of it, I mean, it's going to be a massive project. It's going to be the biggest project the state's ever done as far as highways. And this is the question I asked Sarah Elliott on Friday. Is like, and look, we got a new governor coming in and is presumably a new ALDOT director, but just kind of where we are today. I mean, do you feel good about trusting these people to do the right thing here? And I got some reservations at least.
Yeah, I think so. I think that, the land around the Civic Center in Mobile and the I-10 Virginia Street area had already been purchased and, you know, cleared off. And a lot of the work has already been done, paving the way for this project. And, you know, with us expanding the port and trying to, you know, make it bigger and better, and the port basically affects every district in Mobile County. I know a lot of my people work at the steel mills, and we've got the Amazon shipping centers and Airbus and Austal and all of those that are affected by the port and getting the products in and out to our ports is extremely important. So I think we've absolutely got to do something. And I think that there's a lot of good work going into it, trying to make sure that the future for our port is ready. And that I-10 project's just as important for that as it is for commerce and anything else we're looking at.
Yeah. And the free routes, I guess that kind of comes close to your district there with the Cochran Bridge. At African Town Crockett Bridge, that is, and there are options here, but I wonder about the burden on traffic once you route people a so-called free route, that there's going to be some unintended consequences here, especially coming down 45 or 43 or whatever, and you're crossing over there to go to the beach. That's the way you go if you're coming from that part of the north, and now you're going to have toll dodgers also, you know, so like all this sort of comes in together.
Yeah, and that's a likely problem. We have seen similar whenever they finished up the 158 project going from Sarah Land out to Mississippi, the Mississippi line there near Loosedale, George County. They shut down Moffitt Road for a while there, rerouting traffic onto the new road, and after a while there's so much congestion there at 158 and Sayre Land and 65 that, you know, they did open up Moffitt Road, but it's still not as used, and so they're dealing with a lot of problems, issues, and congestion there in Sayre Land. So yeah, I'm sure there's going to be some issues and concerns that are going to have to be worked out once this is put in place.
Well, the one last thing on this is I wonder how this is going to impact other projects down here. So if you get this big bridge and the state transportation policymakers are looking at the state, and, you know, every state, every part of the state has its needs, will this suck up the likelihood of widening 45 or finishing 158 or, you know, whatever else needs to be done in North Mobile County, or Baldwin County for that matter, for the foreseeable future, because, well, you're getting your big giant bridge.
Yeah, that is possible. So that is things that we look at. Of course, we looked at that whenever they started discussing and working on the West Alabama corridor, 43 north of Thomasville, and those concerns have been brought up, and trying to, you know, make the best of our funds and make sure that we're using them wisely across the state, not just in one area, one road. So I don't know. It's going to be, we're all going to have to keep a close eye on it as we do budgets and you know, there's just going to have to be a lot of legislators looking at the cost of this project versus the money we've had and see what we've got and, you know, what we're able to do with this.
Well, it's just kind of always stunning to me, and I don't know if it's like this in other states, but legislators really have very limited influence on road projects. And it's a core executive function. Whenever I bring this question up, it's like, well, you don't want politics coming into play on road construction. Well, you kind of do, because then that stops these boondoggle type projects like the West Alabama Corridor from happening. That you, if it were a disparate based system and they looked at traffic counts and they actually did that, instead of trying to make our roads and highways some kind of economic development program, you know, that things would be, I think, tangibly better.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think we absolutely need a say-so in it. We are representatives from our district and our area of the state. And if we're not having a say-so, we can't go back and work on major projects like Highway 45 or 158, then there's problems. I mean, if we can't influence that, then who can? And you're going to have projects like Highway 45 that's, you know, been left out. I mean, we have been a squeaky wheel since I've gotten elected about that, and going to continue to do so until we get something done. But the legislators, you know, that process has got to have a part in deciding which roads are paved and four-laned and updated and upgraded across our state.
I mean, I remember the discussions about the gas tax in 2019. And I had a bunch of lawmakers. Everybody was kind of forced to be on board. They had a gun to their head on that. And the one of the things that was always told to me was, like, we're going to have this joint oversight committee of House members and senators. It's going to be fantastic because we're going to make sure that there's no silly, frivolous spending. We're going to keep this Department of Transportation in check. And you could trust us here because we're the watchdogs. And then the governor goes out and bonds for the next 20 years on this money that was supposedly going to be under the watchful eye of the legislature. And I can't imagine. And I've had conversations on the record with, like, the speaker and the pro tem that they don't like the way she did this. And they kind of, like, snuck one past the goal line here.
Yeah, I think we've got to, there's got to be checks and balances. And, you know, I'm not sure how that happened, but we've got to have ways that we can slow a project down or stop it if need be, if we get somebody that does something that don't need to be done. So, yeah, I think we've got to have a say-so. We've got to be able to have some checks and balances, and we can't have one person, you know, whether it be the governor, lieutenant governor, whoever, making decisions on major road projects that's going to tie the money of the state for extended periods of time.
Yeah, I guess we're just kind of stuck with the status quo. I mean, and not to make this whole discussion about roads, I guess that's where we went today with it, but, like, there's just no going back on the West Alabama Corridor. They decided this is something they wanted to do, and they put every egg possible in that basket. And it's probably going to get done the way the governor and John Cooper, the ADOT director, had envisioned.
Yeah. You know, which I do travel that area, and it, you know, it will definitely help my travels in traveling that road. But whether it was the most needed project in the state, I don't think so. But, you know, I think that we, anytime we can four lane or expand a road in Alabama, we need to do it. Of course, I'm advocating for my district the best I can, but I'm not opposed to upgrading and updating other areas of the state also for all of our citizens.
Well, tell me this. If they do 45 someday, and we're old men when we're talking about it, do they have to build like a brand new bypass around Citronelle, or could they do something there just to check the box?
Yeah, it could absolutely be done through town. It does not have to be bypassed. You know, there have been some talks of that over the years, and, you know, I'm not sure exactly what that was about, but it was four lane through town before, you know, about, I'd say before 2011. it was four lane through town, and they went back and changed it to the two lanes with a middle lane, turning passing lane there, or turning lane. And to me, it's been more problematic since we've done that than having the four lane. But that's, you know, those kind of conversations or talks are going to have to be had and made throughout projects, and trying to make sure we're doing what's best, what can be done, and what's financially affordable. But yeah, that one is absolutely doable. And, you know, the price that it would cost to bypass the city would be, to me, it would outweigh the cost and benefit of going through the city there in Central Mill.
Representative, we got to get out of here. Thanks for making time for us. We'll do it again in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
State Representative Shane Stringer there, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5.